be with you.
And with your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity to pray always without becoming weary. He said, "There was a judge in a certain town who feared neither God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, 'Render a just decision for me against my adversary.' For a long time, the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, 'Well, it's true that I fear neither God nor respect any human being. Because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her lest she finally come and strike me.' The Lord said, 'Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God, then, secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord. Today, Jesus asks a truly haunting question at the end of the Gospel. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? The question seems to be more than just rhetorical. Jesus asks it, it seems, because he's not convinced that when he comes, he will find faith. We're living in an age and culture in which many seem to be drifting away from the faith or losing it. 3 days ago, the Pew Research Center released the results of a survey that shows that 65% of American adults now say they're Christian, down 12 percentage points in the last 10 years alone. Those who describe themselves as atheists, agnostics, and nothing in particular are now 26% of the population, up from 17% in 2009. Catholics in the last 10 years have dropped from 24% of the population to 20%. And we all have seen the consequences of these trends, which have led to the shuttering of some churches, schools, convents, and seminaries. We've seen it even among family members and friends whom we know and love who are no longer practicing the faith. We see it in some empty seats in almost every Catholic parish, including here at St. Sylvester. This is all a cause, ultimately, of secularism. And what's secularism? Secularism is living, as Pope Benedict liked to say, etsi deus non deretur, a Latin phrase that means living as if God were not a given, living if he didn't exist. That while people, on the one hand, believe in God, they are practical atheists, meaning in ordinary life they live like everybody else lives. They don't live it differently than everybody else, because they don't live it explicitly with God. And so today's question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in action, is ever timely. Jesus' point in asking the question was not just to get us to worry about the future, but it was to get us never to take our faith for granted and to do everything that we have to keep it strong and make it grow. Faith is a gift of God, but it's also a virtue, a moral muscle, which we're called to exercise and make stronger. Jesus wants to fortify our faith. Today he shows us how to buttress it in the parable of the persistent widow. The real test of faith, he says, is whether when he comes, he will find us persevering in prayer. That doesn't mean he's necessarily going to find us on our knees or fingering rosary beads or here at St. Sylvester. It means that he's going to find us seeking to unite our whole day and life, our mind, our heart, and our soul to him. Prayer is faith in action. We live as we pray, and we pray as we live. And if we're going to be found faithful in life, we're going to be found prayerful. The ultimate goal of a human life is to become an existence made prayer. Which doesn't mean we just pray a few Hail Marys at the beginning and the end of the day. It doesn't mean that we merely come to Mass on Sunday. It means that we try to live fully in communion with God. That's why Jesus teaches us today about the necessity, not the suggestion, not the good idea, the necessity of praying always without losing heart. He seeks to show us how to cry out to God day and night. He wants to train us to live that way so that no matter when He comes, we won't be surprised, because we'll be longing to unite our whole life with Him so that if He says, "Here I am," we're ready to embrace. Reality is, many people do not pray like the importune woman in today's gospel. Many Catholics don't persevere in prayer. We're content on praying a little. Others would like to pray, but they don't think they have time because they're prioritizing so many other things in life to a life-changing time with God. Others, because of a bad experience or various other reasons, stop praying altogether as an ordinary activity in life, and they only turn to God in times of crisis. They have lost, or perhaps never had, the practice of praying always. Even priests and religious sisters and brothers can sometimes start cutting the corner on their prayers, just getting them in as a duty, or not getting them in at all. And so that ultimately they become bureaucrats of the Mass, rather than people who even pray the Mass. In short, many Christians don't persist tenaciously in growing in communion with God in prayer. To all of us, Jesus is speaking about the persevering faith He wishes to find in our prayer, hoping that we will open up to receive His graces precisely so that we can pray in this way. Why does Jesus want us to pray with the type of heroic perseverance He described? It's not that He wants to hog all our attention. It's not that He wants us to ask for something 70 times. 7 times is a pointless exercise, especially given that God already knows what we need before we ask. It's because when we have to persevere in prayer, we develop the virtue so that we might persevere faithfully in life. To persevere in that fight against evil and for God. Because we can't win that battle on our own strength. We need God constantly. Just like the Israelites discovered with Moses' prayer in the first reading. When Moses' arms were lifted in prayer, the Israelites had the upper hand against the Amalekites. But when Moses' arms grew weary and they fell, the Amalekites began to triumph. Likewise, when we persevere in prayer, when we regularly turn to God for help, when we're conscious of His desire to live in communion with us, then we are receiving His strength to confront and overcome the challenges we face each day. Every diabolical temptation to separate that part of our life from Him. When our hearts, however, grow weary and our hands are no longer folded in prayer, when we distance ourselves from the Lord, when we try to do things just on our own, that's when we grow weary and are in danger of giving up the good fight of faith altogether. To persevere faithfully in life, we must first learn how to persevere faithfully in prayer. This is so important for us to grasp because we are living in an age in which, let's be frank, many are quitters. We give up. We give up on Mass. We give up on the sacrament of confession. We give up on the fight against sin. We give up on marriages. We give up on suffering. We priests even give up on our vows and priestly vocations. That's why the virtue of perseverance is so important. To never give up. To never stop running the race, fighting the good fight, and keeping the faith and growing in it. Jesus told us in the gospel, "He who endures to the end will be saved." For us to have that type of holy endurance, we need to recognize that life is a marathon. And prayer is the conversation of life God, who runs alongside of us, wants to have with us. But why does this happen? It's not because people just all of a sudden say, "I'm going to choose to give up on faith," or "I'm going to choose to give up on prayer." They don't. It's because in the practices of prayer, they basically don't find Jesus. It's not a real encounter with God, because if it were a real encounter with God, we would never give it up. Sometimes we're just going through the external motions. We're showing a mass, we're genuflecting, we're standing, sitting, standing, sitting, standing, kneeling, standing, and exiting. But sometimes we can forget that it's really God speaking to us here in the Word. It's really God who comes down from heaven to earth on the altar. That it's God who waits to wipe our souls clean in confession. We don't encounter God. You know, when young people say to me, I was a high school chaplain for many years, Mass is boring. I just always ask the question, do you recognize that God is there? The priest might be boring. The music in other churches, not St. Sylvester, might be boring. But God is not boring. But those conversations with those young people were always very interesting for me. Because as soon as you ask that question, their whole universe opens up. Because sometimes they've never recognized that going to Mass, for example, is not just a duty we fulfill, but it's the most important meeting we will ever have in life, and it's really God there. Likewise, prayer is an encounter with God. Many have never learned this, though. And that's why they can start drifting away. And so the key to learning how to persevere in prayer and to learn how to persevere prayerfully in life is to recognize we're encountering God in prayer and that He wants to sustain us. If any of us is out of shape, I'm a little out of shape, I should go to the gym. When we go to the gym, it wouldn't be enough for us, for example, just to work on our biceps. You have to work on your legs, you have to work on your stomach, you have to work on your cardiovascular stuff. In the same way in prayer, the exercise of our soul, it's not enough just to pray in one simple way. God wants to train us through various spiritual exercises. And so today, if we're going to run and win the marathon of Christian life, then we need to get training in prayer. I'd like to bring out a few different ways that God wants to train us. First, is to make our most important appointment every day with Him. To make real time for God. Just like we'd make an appointment with the doctor if we were sick. Just like we'd make an appointment with the teacher of our students in school if our kid was having a difficulty. So we need to make a daily appointment with God. I put Him right in my calendar, straight on my iPhone. God! So I treat it like any other appointment that I wouldn't blow off. And funny, God always shows up to the appointment. Sometimes we say we don't have time to pray. And some days we'll be pretty frenetic. But we really show what or who we're serving with whether we make time for God. A friend of mine, Matthew Kelly, head of Dynamic Catholic, says that if you feel in a given day you're too busy to make time for prayer, then do this, he says. Stop for one solid minute. Block everything else out. And just recognize that God is there for you right then. That He wants to help you. That He loves you. That you're not alone. Because He says it's so much harder to go from no prayer to 1 minute than it is from 1 to 5 or 5 to 15 or 15 to a holy hour of adoration. But the first and most important practice is to say, I'm going to make time for God in prayer. Second practice is we need to learn how to listen to God in sacred scripture. We remember what St. Paul said to us today in the second reading. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for training in righteousness, so that one who belongs to God may be competent and equipped for every good work. Sacred scripture, God speaks to us. Provided that we learn how to pray sacred scripture to hear His voice, so that through it He can train us in holiness. When we read sacred scripture, we open ourselves up like the young Samuel and say, Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Frankly, there are many Catholics who don't use this gold mind. Our Protestant brothers and sisters know sacred scripture so much better than Catholics. Many Catholics never read sacred scripture, especially the whole of it. Do you know how long it would take to read the entire Bible? Sometimes when I ask people that question, they think like 1,000 hours or 6 lifetimes. If you're a slow reader, it would take 75 hours. If you were to spend 12 to 15 minutes a day just reading sacred scripture, 12 to 15 minutes, you'd read the entire Bible in a year. If you spent a half hour, you'd read it in 5 months. It doesn't take that long. And when we start to read sacred scripture in that way, we get God's light on all the various areas of our life. Our mind starts to think with the words of God. Our voice starts to use God's word. As we speak to God, we speak to others. Our life gets transformed. We begin to persevere. Please take advantage of this resource. God gives it to us because He loves us. Most of us, if someone we loved wrote us a letter, wouldn't leave it unopened. Sacred Scripture is God's love letters to us. Please open it up and take it seriously as any letter you'd receive from the person you love the most, or like a letter you would get from a family member in a battlefield. You'd never wait to read it. The third means God gives us are vocal prayers, like the Holy Rosary. In this month of October, dedicated to Our Lady of the Rosary, we focus on this great tool of prayerful perseverance. What is the Rosary other than a prayer of perseverance in which we pray 53 Hail Marys? We meditate anew on the same mysteries of the life of Christ, Mary, and the Church, seeking to penetrate their depths, imitate what they contain, and obtain what they promise. When we make this commitment to pray the Rosary each day, we recognize that some days we feel like praying it, and many days we don't. But if we pray it anyway, then we learn how to persevere in communion with God in good times and bad, sickness and health. You know, when I was a young kid, we prayed the Rosary as a family. It's one of the reasons why I'm here today. Most days I didn't feel like praying the Rosary because my dad had the terrible habit of praying the Rosary right after the weather report, which was when the sports report was coming on, which was the only reason why I was watching the news. But I did it every day, and I learned how to form that habit of prayer, and Our Lady sustained me to this very day. What a great habit when you pray the Rosary with somebody else. There are many days we don't feel like praying, but the other comes and says, time to pray the Rosary, and we do. Then all of a sudden we get the second wind at the third mystery, for example. And we unite our day more and more to God. Use this weapon of prayer that God gives. Fourth means is the Mass, which is the great persevering prayer of the Church. It began during the Last Supper, continued on Good Friday, and has continued all the way down to October 20th, 2019, here in Medford. It's one continuous sacrifice, as Eucharistic Prayer 3 has it, from the rising of the sun to its setting. It's not enough just to come to Mass. We have to pray the Mass and persevere in praying the Mass and living a Eucharistic life. Sometimes you might say, how long is that priest going to preach? Well, sometimes he might be doing that to help you to learn how to persevere. Sometimes people, as soon as they receive Holy Communion, head out the doors. Can we persevere in thanksgiving for receiving God inside? Just stay through the blessing. There are these little things that if we approach them in a worldly way, we might not understand. But when we approach them with God's eyes, we begin to recognize how God is forming us in holiness through these things that according to our bodily nature we might not enjoy. The fifth training ground for perseverance are friends in need of prayer. Sometimes one of the greatest things that can happen to us to grow in faith is to have those we know and care about in need of our prayer. Because if we pray for them with loving perseverance, we will be transformed. Many of you know the story of Saint Monica, the great 4th century saint. Her husband was not Christian. Patricius was his name. So she prayed for him for 17 years. He was likewise verbally abusive and an alcoholic. But after 17 years, he received the gift of faith, converted. Little did either of them know he would die within a year, but he died holy. But as soon as he died, their son, Augustine, went ballistic, started to live in a promiscuous way, have a child out of wedlock. She had to pray for him for another 15 years with many tears. But at the end of those 32 years, her son finally converts, and he becomes the great Saint Augustine. And we would never call her Saint Monica unless, as a mom and a wife, she learned the hard way how to persevere in prayer. She became one of the greatest examples of holiness in history because she prayed perseveringly for loved ones. God will give us all loved ones for whom He wants us to pray, because not only does He want to hear our prayers for them, but in our praying for them, He wants to sanctify us. Sixth is praying our daily work. Most of us spend at least a third of five of our 7 days during the week working, either going to school or going to a job. We're not going to pray always unless we learn how to pray our work. How do we pray it? First, by opening up that God wants to work with us. He's present for us. It's not a God-free zone. But then there are various little practices we can do. For me, at the beginning of every hour or every task, depending upon what I'm doing, I say a little consecration of the hour. Lord, thank you for this work that you've given me to sanctify. Help me to do it well. I offer this work for. And then I offer it for one of the many people who have asked me to pray for them or their intentions. And what's amazing, you know, there are times when I get up at 4:45 in the morning, get knee calluses, praying for these intentions. And I pray perseveringly for them and they don't seem to be answered. What God's taught me over the course of time is how pleasing the prayer of our work is. Because soon after finishing that hour, I get a text from somebody and it's just like, listen, just want to give you the good news. Karen just went to the doctor and she no longer has cancer. We need to learn how to pray our work if we're going to pray always. Seventh is praying for laborers for the Lord's vineyard. Today is World Mission Sunday, and we need to remember to pray perseveringly for the spread of the gospel. Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers for his harvest." Notice that his verbs are in the present tense, because he recognizes there will always be a need for missionaries. There's always going to be a need for priests. There's always going to be a need for religious. There's always going to be a need for really holy families and marriages. But we have to pray. One of the reasons why we don't have enough priests, why we don't have enough missionaries, why we've got this whole synod for the Amazon, because we don't pray perseveringly enough for these things. And when we do, that's when things really begin to change, both outside of us and inside of us. When Jesus asked the apostles to pray to the harvest master the first time, they did. And as they were praying, St. Matthew tells us, Jesus says, "I'll take you, Peter. I'll take you, Andrew, and you, James, and you, John, and you, Matthew." That when we're praying for laborers for his harvest, we're not just praying for other people. We're praying that we might recognize that God wants each of us to roll up our sleeves and get down to work. Because the harvest is other people who don't have God adequately in their life. And we want to share with them that greatest blessing. The last training ground I'll mention is praying with others. For us to pray unceasingly, we need help. We need others to help us. And we recognize that others need help and need us to help them. That's why it's important for us to pray together, so that we might persevere. That's why it's important for families to pray together, for couples to pray together, for friends to pray together, for parishioners to pray together. Moses, as we see in the first reading, had the help of Aaron and Hur to hold up his hands. We need to look around us and see those who have the gift of faith to pray perseveringly and ask to pray with them. They'll help us learn how to pray better. without growing weary. Likewise, we need to look around us and see those who have never learned how to pray or have given up on prayer and try to help them too. When somebody asks us to pray for a special intention because a family member is in need, I'd urge you not just to say, okay, I'll do it, and then do it. I'd urge you to say, let's pray right now and pause and pray with that person. They're turning and asking you because they know you have a reputation as being a person of prayer. But teach them how to pray in that moment. Pope Francis says, commitment to prayer demands that we support each other. Weariness is inevitable. Sometimes we simply can't go on. Yet with the support of our brothers and sisters, our prayer can persevere until the Lord completes His work. And how true that is. That's why Jesus says, whenever two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He wants us to pray always, and we're not always going to be together with somebody else. But He incentivizes us praying with somebody else because, like hiking up Mount Everest, it would be very hard to do solo. But if we were doing it with others, we would be able to get extra stamina from them. It's the same thing in the life of faith. When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? Today is a grace-filled opportunity for us to recognize that God, who calls us to pray always without growing weary, will give us all the help He knows we need to do it. He'll give us the grace to increase our prayer, to persevere in our prayerful union with Him, so that we might persevere faithfully in life. He'll give us the help to make time for Him, to hear His voice whisper to us in sacred scripture, to enter into Mary's contemplative school of the Holy Rosary, to pray the Mass the way He prayed the first Mass, to pray for those in need, to pray our work, to pray for vocations to continue Christ's mission, and to pray with others. Today we ask the Lord, who is in our midst, to help us to pray with living faith, so that when He comes on this altar in just a few minutes, He may find us all full of faith, ready to persevere in prayerful union with Him through the valleys and mountains of life, all the way until, God willing, we join Saint Sylvester in the eternally persevering prayer of the heavenly Jerusalem. When the Lord Jesus comes for us, He wants us to embrace Him prayerfully. Let's get His help.